Usually when we talk about checking our messages in the morning, there's this like expectation of dread.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Like you grab your coffee, you open your laptop, and suddenly you're staring at, I don't know, five different browser tabs.
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
You've got your main work email, a personal email you've had for a decade, maybe a side hustle account.
And another one just for, newsletters and junk.
Exactly. It
Yeah.
feels less like modern communication and more like you're working a physical switchboard in the 1950s.
Huh. Just constantly pulling out cords and plugging them back in somewhere
Yeah,
else.
it's completely fragmented.
You're constantly context switching, which is just draining your cognitive energy before you've even, actually read anything important.
But here's the thing. This fragmentation isn't just a personal headache you experience at your kitchen table.
No, not at all.
When you scale that chaos up to an entire company, it becomes this massive structural problem.
Oh, it's a nightmare for IT.
And that is exactly where SafeServer, the supporter of today's deep dive, comes in.
Right.
Because right now, the default way organizations try to solve this communication chaos is by locking themselves into incredibly expensive proprietary workspace services.
Yeah, we're talking about the massive tech giants, Microsoft, Google, those kinds of vendors.
Right. And those ecosystems aren't just costly on a, a monthly basis.
They're designed to be walled gardens. They
Exactly.
can be incredibly restrictive about how you handle your own information.
Which is a huge issue. SafeServer actually helps organizations break out of those walled gardens by switching to open source alternatives.
Which is a staggering difference in cost.
Oh, any CFO is going to love it.
Right.
But it goes way deeper than just saving money on licensing fees.
Because of the compliance side, right?
Exactly. Think about your organization's legal, regulatory, or compliance requirement. If you're dealing with mandatory email retention laws
Yeah.
or strict data protection under GDPR,
Or just keeping financial records completely secure.
or maintaining verifiable audit trails. In all those cases, data sovereignty is absolutely vital. You really cannot afford to have your organization's critical, legally binding data locked up in a tech giant's proprietary black box,
No.
especially where you don't even control the underlying servers.
You can't. And SafeServer helps you find and implement the exact right open source solution for your specific compliance needs.
They handle the whole thing.
The entire process, from the initial consulting phase, figuring out exactly what your team requires, all the way through to actively operating the software on highly secure servers located right in the EU.
Because data sovereignty really is the foundation. If you don't control the infrastructure, you don't truly control the data.
Couldn't agree more. So if your organization is ready to take back control of its data and its budget, you need to check them out at www.safeserver.de.
Definitely worth looking into.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the core problem we just talked about, that digital fragmentation, the absolute chaos of having too many accounts, that's exactly what we're tackling today.
It's such a universal problem.
It is. So we're providing a beginner-friendly, highly accessible entry point into this incredibly smart piece of open source software called SIFT.
And just for the record, if you look it up, it's spelled CYPHT,
Right, but it's pronounced SIFT.
which is actually a brilliant name for what the software physically does with your data.
Yeah, it really is. And to figure out the mechanics of this tool, we're pulling directly from the project's official GitHub repository and their detailed homepage.
The way the developers describe their solution is quite elegant, actually.
What do they call it?
They call SIFT a newsreader, but for email.
Huh.
And the fundamental philosophy driving the entire project is unification without replacement.
Okay, wait, let me make sure I actually understand this because usually when someone pitches a new email tool, my immediate reaction is absolute panic.
Huh, totally understandable.
Right. I think, oh, great, I have to migrate gigabytes of data. I have to text everyone my new email address, and I have to slowly watch my old accounts die.
Yeah, it's a massive headache.
But you're saying SIFT doesn't do that.
No, it doesn't replace your accounts at all.
Okay.
It acts as a lightweight webmail aggregator.
So what does that actually look like in practice?
Well, what it does is reach out to all those disparate places, your Gmail, your work server, your side project, and it pulls them together into one single unified view.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, your inbox, your unread messages, your sent folders, and your flagged messages are all combined on one screen.
So it's essentially a universal remote control for your digital life.
That is a perfect way to visualize it, yeah.
Like you aren't throwing away your TV or your stereo or your existing email providers in this case.
Right, you're just getting rid of the five different remotes on your coffee table.
Exactly. You're using a single, much cleaner interface to command them all.
And the reason it works as a universal remote is because it speaks a wide array of communication protocols.
Like what?
We're talking about standard IMAP and SMTP, but it also natively supports JMAP, POP3, and EWS.
Whoa, hold on. That is an alphabet soup of technical acronyms.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Let's break that down for someone who just clicks the, you know, the mail icon on their phone. What are these different protocols actually doing?
Think of a protocol as a specific language a server speaks.
Okay.
IMP and SMTP are the standard languages of email. IMP is how you read mail. SMTP is how you send it.
Got it. And what was the third one?
POP3. It's an older language from the 90s.
Oh, wow. The 90s.
Yeah. It's basically a download and delete system where the mail moves from the server to your computer permanently.
Right. The dark ages of email, where if your hard drive crashed, you just lost everything.
Exactly.
What about EWS and JMAP?
EWS stands for Exchange Web Services. Oh. That is the proprietary language used by clunky corporate Microsoft Exchange servers.
Oh, so the fact that SIFT can speak it means you can integrate your rigid corporate job's email into this unified view.
Yep. You don't have to keep Outlook open just for work. And JMAP is the opposite. It's a very modern, fast, JSON-based protocol designed to eventually replace IMAP.
Okay. So by speaking all these languages, SIFT doesn't care where your data lives.
No, it just seamlessly fetches it. And it actually goes one step further.
Whoa.
It allows you to pull in RSS feeds alongside your emails.
Wait, RSS feeds? Like blog subscriptions and news alerts?
Yeah, exactly.
I thought this was an email client. Let me play devil's advocate for a second here.
Sure.
If this tool is just pulling from all these different places, acting like a glorified newsreader, do I sacrifice the ability to actually do anything?
What do you mean?
Like, is this just a read-only dashboard where I can look at my messages, but I still have to log into Gmail to actually reply to someone?
Not at all. And that's a very common misconception with aggregators.
Oh, what?
The unified reading view is the main attraction, but under the hood, SAFT is still a fully functioning standard email client.
So I can still organize things.
Yeah. You can browse through your specific deeply nested folders.
Nice.
You can actually move an email from your personal Gmail account and drop it directly into a folder on your corporate Exchange account right within the interface.
Wait, across different accounts? That's wild.
It is. And of course, you can compose and send fully formatted outbound messages.
Okay, that changes everything.
What's fascinating here is how it conceptually flattens everything out.
What do you mean by flattens?
Well, by combining RSS feeds, which are essentially just structured news text and emails into one unified interface, it changes how you search.
Because it's all in one place.
Right. It makes them all accessible through a single global search function. SIFT is essentially treating all incoming text-based information as equally searchable data.
Oh, I see. So you no longer have to remember where you read something.
Exactly. Was it a newsletter? Was it an email from Dave?
You just search for what you read, not where it lives.
It totally removes the friction of the silo.
I love the concept. But mechanically, managing all those different protocols, Exchange, IMAP, old school POP3, RSS.
It's a lot, yeah.
Usually when an application tries to be a jack of all trades, it becomes incredibly bloated.
Oh, the classic everything app problem.
Right. We've all seen tools that try to do too much and turn into a sluggish, battery-draining mess.
How does SIFT avoid buckling under its own weight?
It avoids that trap by using a highly unique architecture.
Okay, lay it on me.
To give you the technical baseline from the repository, the software is written primarily in PHP.
Okay.
Making up about 76.2% of the code base, actually. And JavaScript makes up about 18.4%.
Gotcha.
And it's an entirely open source solution released under the LGPL v2 license.
Okay, before we move on, explain it like I'm 5 version of the LGPL v2 license.
Sure.
Because why does a specific legal license matter to someone just wanting to check their email?
It matters because it protects the fundamental freedom of the software. The L stands for Lesser General Public License.
Okay.
In plain English, it means the software is completely free to use, and developers can integrate it into their own projects.
Right.
But if someone modifies the core code of SIFT and distributes it, they are legally obligated to share those improvements back with the community. Oh, so it prevents a big corporation from stealing the code, locking it up, and charging for it.
Exactly. It guarantees the tool remains open.
Got it. It forces everyone to share their homework.
Huh, pretty much.
So it's open source, it's PHP and JavaScript.
Yeah.
But what keeps it from getting bloated?
The secret to its lightness is that it is fundamentally modular.
Modular how?
But not in the way you might think. Usually, you have a massive core application that has a plug-in system bolted onto the side as an afterthought.
Right, like adding heavy extensions to a browser.
Syft is the opposite. It is an application built entirely out of plugins.
Really?
Yeah. The developers officially call them module sets, and they specifically joke in their documentation that module set sounds way cooler than plugins.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because if we think about the mechanics of that, this modular design is basically like playing with Lego bricks instead of buying one of those pre-molded solid plastic toys.
That's a great analogy.
With the solid toy, you get what you get. If it has a heavy, clunky piece attached to it that you never use, you're stuck carrying that weight around.
Right.
But with Lego, you only snap in the exact pieces you actually need.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this architecture is an absolute game changer depending on who's deploying it.
How so?
Think about your own setup right now. Maybe you're configuring this just for your personal laptop, or maybe you're an IT manager deploying it for an entire university or a small business.
Right. Vastly different needs.
Because the only required piece of code is the core module set, you aren't forced to load anything else.
Oh, I see.
If your school doesn't use WordPress, you don't install the WordPress module. Yeah. If you don't use LDAP for contacts, you leave it out.
So the software literally only loads the code for the things you actively use.
Precisely. Again, in the world of software engineering, less code means less memory usage.
Which means it's faster.
Significantly faster load times. And most crucially, fewer vulnerabilities.
Because there's less code to attack.
Right. Every line of code is a potential attack vector for a hacker. By keeping the surface area incredibly small, it ensures the application remains fast and highly secure no matter how large you scale it.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
A smaller surface area means fewer places for things to break.
Exactly.
So we have this very flexible, Lego-like backend holding it all together. Let's transition to the front end.
Sure.
Because all the clean architecture in the world doesn't matter if writing an email feels like a chore.
Oh, absolutely. The user interface is everything.
When you're actually sitting down at your desk to communicate, what is the daily driving experience like?
It's highly geared toward user empowerment and frictionless efficiency.
Okay.
Let's start with writing. When you're composing a message, Syft supports plain text, standard HTML, and Markdown natively.
Oh, nice.
And the clever part is, if you write your email in Markdown, the system automatically converts it to beautifully formatted HTML the moment you hit send.
So the recipient just sees a normal, pretty email. Okay, I have to stop you there. I am someone who relies heavily on the standard bold, italic, and underline buttons.
The old point and click.
Yeah. I highlight the text with my mouse and I click the B. Explain the how and why of Markdown to me.
It's actually a lot simpler than it sounds.
Why is it such a big deal for productivity?
It's all about keeping your hands on the keyboard.
Okay.
Markdown is a way to format text using simple keyboard symbols.
Break what?
Instead of stopping your train of thought, taking your hand off the keyboard, grabbing the mouse, highlighting a phrase, and clicking a tiny formatting icon.
Which does take a second, yeah.
You just type two asterisks before and after a word to make it bold. You use a hashtag to create a header.
Oh, so you never have to navigate a clunky drop-down menu.
Exactly. For people who process and write hundreds of emails a day, it's a massive productivity booster.
Because you stay in the zone.
Right. It keeps you in a state of flow.
Yeah. I can definitely see the appeal. But the feature that I genuinely couldn't believe when I was reading the sources was the server-side sieve email filtering.
Oh, yes. The sieve filters.
I need you to explain this mechanism because the idea of my inbox organizing itself while my laptop is closed sounds like actual magic.
It practically is, yeah. And it solves one of the biggest annoyances of traditional email management.
Which is?
Let's say you use a standard desktop email program and you set up a filter that says, move all promotional newsletters to the junk folder.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
The problem is that rule only executes when the email program is actively open and running on your computer.
Oh, right.
If you close your laptop and go to lunch, those newsletters are going to bypass the filter and start pinging your phone's lock screen.
Because the bouncer went home for the day.
Exactly. Sieve filtering changes where the bouncer works.
Okay.
Instead of running on your computer, Sieve runs directly on the email server itself.
Oh.
Syft acts as the interface where you write the rules, but it passes those rules up to the server.
So it's handled upstream.
Exactly. So as soon as a promotional email hits the server sorts it immediately.
That's amazing.
You could be asleep, your laptop could be powered off in a backpack, and your inbox is still actively being sorted.
It really is like having an invisible digital assistant working the night shift.
Pretty much.
So when you finally do open your laptop, everything is already perfectly categorized. That is incredible.
It saves so much time.
What about localization? I've tried to help translate open source apps before, and it usually requires dealing with these massive, messy GetText files that you have to compile.
Yeah, those can be a nightmare.
Does Syfe force you to deal with that?
No, and that's another testament to its lightweight philosophy. Compiling GetText or .po files can be a real headache to maintain.
So what do they use?
Syfe uses a radically simple translation system that relies entirely on basic PHP arrays.
What does a PHP array look like compared to a compiled translation file?
A PHP array in this context is essentially just a simple text list of matching words.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
Just a list.
Yeah, it's as straightforward as writing the English word inbox equals the Spanish word bandeja de entrada.
Oh, wow.
Anyone can open that file in a basic text editor and update it without needing specialized compiling software.
That's so accessible.
And despite that absolute simplicity, it fully supports complex right-to-left languages perfectly.
That's brilliant. Now, let me share a slightly embarrassing personal anecdote.
Uh-oh.
A few years ago, I accidentally replied all to a very serious, very formal project update.
Oh, no.
Using my side hustle email address, which had a completely ridiculous signature attached to it.
Ouch. Yeah, that happens.
Since Syfe is an aggregator bringing all my accounts into one view, how does it handle the who am I replying as problem? I don't want to make that mistake again.
The developers anticipated exactly that scenario.
Thank goodness.
They solved it with flexible profiles. Within Syfe, you can create distinct profiles that bind specific IMAP reading accounts to specific SMTP sending accounts.
Okay, so they're locked together.
Right. You then assign distinct permanent signatures and reply to details to each profile.
So it remembers the context.
Exactly. If an email comes into your formal work address and you hit reply, Syfe automatically detects which account received the message.
And it switches the sender.
It selects the matching outbound profile and ensures your professional signature is attached.
That is a lifesaver. You'd have to actively go out of your way to reply from the wrong address.
You really would.
Okay, so the daily driving experience is highly customizable, and it protects you from yourself.
Definitely.
But knowing all these features naturally prompts the question of deployment.
Right, the setup.
If I'm convinced this is the tool for me, how difficult is it to actually install this on a server? And more importantly, is it safe?
The deployment flexibility is honestly one of its strongest technical points.
Okay.
Let's start with data storage. When you set up Syfe, you have to store session data and user settings somewhere.
Sure.
For larger deployments, you have the option to use any PDO-compatible database.
Hold on, PDO. What is that?
It stands for PHP Data Objects.
Okay, what does that mean in English?
Think of it as a universal plug adapter for databases.
Oh, okay.
It means Syfe isn't stubbornly locked into demanding just one specific brand of database, like MySQL or PostgreSQL.
It can talk to any of them.
Almost any of them, which makes IT administrators very happy.
I bet.
But if you're just a single user and you want something incredibly simple, you can bypass databases entirely.
Wait, really?
Yeah, you can configure Syfe to store your settings just as flat files directly on the server.
Wait, literally just text documents sitting in a folder?
Literally just text files. Yeah. No complex database management required whatsoever.
That makes backing up your configuration incredibly simple. You just copy the folder.
Exactly. It's so portable. And the authentication mechanisms are just as flexible.
Like how you log in.
Yeah. If you're a business, it seamlessly supports LDAP.
Which is essentially a corporate digital phone book, right?
Correct. It's how companies centrally manage employee logins. But Syfe also includes its own internal database schema, or you can use dynamic authentication where it verifies you through popular email providers.
Oh, that's handy.
It even features auto discovery based purely on the email domain you type in.
So it sets itself up.
Pretty much. Or if you have a highly unusual setup, you can completely roll your own custom authentication using the Syfe module set.
I hear all of that, and it sounds incredibly robust.
It is.
But I have to ask a clarifying question here on behalf of the listener.
Sure. Go ahead.
Because we have to talk about the elephant in the room.
Okay.
We're talking about routing all of our most sensitive, private, legally binding communications through this software.
Right.
And the sources note that Syfe is an entirely volunteer effort.
Yes.
They don't have a massive corporate security budget. They don't even have a financial bounty program to pay ethical hackers to find flaws.
That's true.
So should organizations genuinely be worried about trusting this software with their data?
This raises an important question, and it really gets to the very heart of the open source philosophy versus proprietary software.
How so?
You might instinctively think a massive corporate budget guarantees security.
That's the assumption, yeah.
But history has shown us repeatedly that centralized proprietary servers are massive, highly lucrative targets for hackers.
And they get breached constantly.
Exactly. With SAFT, what you are gaining is radical transparency.
Because anyone can look at the code.
The code isn't hidden in a black box. It's out in the open. The repository shows over 7,000 commits and 1,500 stars on GitHub.
That's a lot of activity.
That represents a robust community of developers constantly examining, testing, and refining the code.
It's the old open source adage, many eyes make all bugs shallow.
Exactly. And the developers are incredibly upfront and honest about security.
What do they say?
While they cannot offer a financial bounty, they publicly promise incredibly quick responses, thorough peer reviews, and honorable mentions in their release notes for anyone who reports a flaw before a release goes public.
That's pretty standard for good open source projects.
No, it is. But honestly, the most critical security feature is the architecture itself.
Because it's self-hosted.
Because you can self-host this on your own terms.
Yeah.
Because you can run it on flat files or your own custom databases. You retain total sovereignty over your data.
Right. You're not outsourcing your trust.
You are entirely bypassing the vulnerabilities of massive centralized third-party servers. Your data never leaves your own hardware.
So what does this all mean? If we look at everything we've covered today from the GitHub repository and the project's homepage.
Yeah.
SIFT is offering a remarkably lightweight, highly customizable way to regain control over our digital communication.
Absolutely.
It's actively solving the problem of inbox fragmentation without forcing us to abandon our existing accounts.
It's the best of both worlds.
It is essentially bringing peace, order, and unsiloed searchability to the chaotic landscape of modern email.
And it achieves all of that by respecting the user's intelligence and their right to privacy.
Yeah.
Relying on a brilliant modular design to keep things fast, efficient, and secure.
It really makes you think about the future of how we handle information.
In what way?
Because if this tool successfully flattens all of our emails, RSS feeds, and newsletters into raw, format-agnostic data that lives on our own private servers, what happens next?
Oh, I see where you're going.
Imagine pointing a small, localized artificial intelligence at that unified data.
Wow, yeah.
An AI that lives entirely on your hardware, completely private, acting as an ultimate secretary that actually understands the full context of your digital life.
Sorting, summarizing, and drafting responses.
Exactly. Without ever having to send a single byte of your personal data to OpenAI or Google. That is a wild frontier.
It is a profound shift in perspective. Moving from a state of scattered, cloud-dependent reaction to a state of unified, locally controlled intelligence.
And regaining that local control is exactly what we need more of.
I agree completely.
Which brings us right back to SafeServer. Because that intentional control, that data sovereignty, is exactly what they offer to businesses, associations, and organizations.
It's a perfect match for what we've been talking about.
We spent this deep dive talking about how SIFT provides incredible flexibility and ensures your data stays on your own hardware, and that is the exact use case SafeServer specializes in.
Right.
By switching away from expensive, big tech proprietary tools to robust open source solutions, organizations gain incredible operational flexibility.
And they ensure their sensitive data remains strictly under their own legal control.
While seeing significant cost savings. Whether an organization wants to implement this exact software we discussed today, SIFT, or needs help finding a comparable open source alternative that fits their specific regulatory compliance needs, SafeServer can be commissioned for specialized consulting.
They're the experts in making this transition seamless, secure, and hosted right in the EU.
You can find out more and get your organization started by visiting www.safeserver.de.
Taking true ownership of your infrastructure is the first step toward taking control of your digital life.
Couldn't have said it better. Until next time.